Have you ever heard the term, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it? Probably we all have. We all have. You can probably think of something that comes to mind that, you know, unless you saw it, it'd be hard to believe somebody told you that it happened. If I told you that I saw a 90-pound dog climb up a tree 20 feet like a cat and stand on the first limb, you'd say, what? Well, it's true. I saw it with my own two eyes. It crawled up the side of a tree just like a cat, a big old 90-pound dog. A lot of people probably wouldn't believe it, even though I tell you. Well, we're going to look at something along those lines this morning. It comes from John chapter 20. In verse 25, unless I see, I will never believe. As we had our gospel meeting last week at Oak Mountain, this was one of the passages that was read, and immediately this sermon kind of came to mind. Brother Philip can probably attest, sometimes you're reading a passage and something just jumps out at you and there's a sermon there. And that's kind of the way this happened with me. This is said here by the Apostle Thomas. It says here in John chapter 20 and verse 25, it says, so the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Unless I see, I will never believe. Think for a second, how many people are this way today? Let me ask you this question. What if we as Christians were this way today? Especially pertaining to being a Christian and following the Lord. There's no way for us to stick our hand, our fingers into the marks of the nails or into his side. So what do we have to have? We have to have faith. You know, Edgar Allan Poe said, believe nothing you hear and only half of what you see. We need to make sure that we 100% believe the Word of God. You know, in today's time, you really can't trust what you see. When you start talking about Photoshop and video editing and things of that nature, things can be construed and taken out of context and things made to appear as they are not. But the one true and steady is God's Word. And we need to make sure that we are following God's Word and that we do not have this attitude here that Thomas shows. Let's look at the context of that passage there in John chapter 20. We'll begin reading in verse 24. It says, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We would fall into that last sentence there. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. By faith, we see. We need to remember this as we go through our study, by faith we see. With our faith. We don't need to have this attitude in which Thomas had. What I'd like to do is briefly look at who was Thomas before we get into the meat of our study. Who was Thomas? He was an apostle. He was one of the 12. He was one that was hand-selected by Jesus. By Jesus himself, he was hand-selected. Sometimes I think when we study this, when you read some commentaries, we forget that Jesus hand-selected him. He must have had some faith. He must have been a strong man in order to be selected by Jesus. We'll look at some more instances in a minute to where he does show some faith. He's also known as Didymus, which translates to the twin. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 13, reading through verse 16, we already have read that it called him the twin there in John chapter 20 and in verse 24. But let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 13. It says, And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles, Simon, who he named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. We see here that he was hand-selected from the disciples to become an apostle. In order to do this, he must have been an outstanding individual. Well, who else was Thomas? Who was Thomas? Thomas was not afraid to ask honest questions. In John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. For now on you do you know him and have seen him." We may think this is showing weakness here, but we know the story. Now, we've seen the whole story, the whole Bible story. This story was unfolding before Thomas's eyes. And he asked an honest question. He was not afraid to question. Well, what else about Thomas? He was willing to die for Jesus. In John chapter 11, beginning in verse 14, and I will say if you look at many commentaries, they suggest, again, that this shows a lack of faith. And it may. But I think some may let John chapter 20 influence that a little bit. But we see here in John chapter 11, beginning in verse 14, then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus had died. "And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." We see here that he was willing to go and willing to die for Jesus. But what is Thomas most known for? Thomas, many times known as Doubting Thomas, because he doubted. Going back to the text that we looked at the onset of our sermon, I want to read it again in John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24. It says, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands and the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, we've talked about this a little bit already this morning. But he is told, as the scripture tells us here, by his other disciples, he's told that Jesus is alive. They tell him, Jesus is alive. But what does he say? I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. Think of that for a moment among us. If we as brothers and sisters in Christ tell each other something, we need to believe it. We hope that we should be able to believe. We should trust it. Hopefully that's coming with love and from God's word. He knew these disciples well. But yet what? He doubted. He had to have that physical proof. He said, unless I see those marks in his hand and in his side. Evidently, Jesus must have known about this because what happened? 8 days later, Jesus appears and says, Thomas, here. I want you to believe, feel. I want you to see. Again, as I've already said, we cannot be like Thomas. We don't have the ability to touch and to feel. We have to believe God's word. Today, some will not believe unless what? There's a whole host of reasons why many people will not believe today. Some will not believe unless they see a sign, much like Thomas. Thomas had to have that physical sign there. In Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 38, it says, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. But he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus being resurrected from the dead. Wow, what a sign. But what about us today? We don't physically see that. We have God's word, we have the scripture, and by faith we must believe it. But even today, some will not believe unless they see a sign. Here's another example here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see here it says, for Jews demand signs, Greeks wisdom. Simply, we need the powerful word of God. Do we have that unless I see, I will never believe attitude? If we do, we won't make it to heaven. Some will not believe unless they have more than the Bible. Some will not believe unless they have more than God's word. In Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 27, it says, and he said, then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Again, this showing some people need a sign. They need more than just God's word. They need an example from man, from men. What about us? How's our faith? Do we believe God's word enough that we don't have to have these things? These physical things? The Bible is all that we need. We don't need the creeds of man, the doctrines of men. We don't need some council or some board to write more and add to God's word. We shouldn't need to have someone raised from the dead in order for us to believe. We have Christ who's been raised from the dead. We have God's word that tells us that is our salvation, and we need to believe it. But some will not believe, again, if they have more than the Bible. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Whenever I read this passage, I often wonder, what were those other signs? Not that my faith is weak, but I want to know what they were. Because of what Christ did. But what we have in God's word should be and is enough. We don't have to be like Thomas and touch and feel. We have God's word that tells us. In Revelation chapter 22, beginning in verse 18 and 19, it says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Plain and simple. Believe God's word. Trust in God's word and his word only. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away from it. God's word. If we follow it, we dot every I and cross every T. We'll have that home that's been promised to the faithful in the end. But there are some that need more than the Bible. Some will not believe unless the majority of everyone else believes the same thing. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13, says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that passage, does it? There's going to be few people who make their way on that hard and narrow way to heaven. Going along with the crowd, believing the same thing as the majority, is not going to cut it. I was thinking about this, and Brother Gardner Hall does some YouTube studies, some very good YouTube studies. It's kind of a closed group. Well, this past week, maybe 2 weeks, he did one on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And we know that that's a problem in today's society. People pretty much do what they want to do. Somehow this was reshared outside of his small group. It has gone viral. And between YouTube and Facebook, it has close to 1 million views. And he was reaching out in the last couple days. He's had some, I think, 6,000 questions. And he's reached out to some brethren to help answer these questions. You see, the majority of people don't even know what the Bible says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. But yet when they do hear God's word, they do learn about it. They start questioning things. It's not good to be part of the majority. Why? Because of what Matthew 7, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 say. If you're with the majority, it's not looking good. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5. This is very plain and simple again. For each will have to bear his own load. We are responsible for ourselves. The majority following others, we are responsible for ourselves. If we sin, we need to tighten up those bootstraps, ask for forgiveness, and move on. We need to bear our own load. But some will not believe unless it is what they want to believe. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, very familiar passage. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That means we have to believe all the scripture, not just what we want to. It's not a la carte. We can't get a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit here and make it what we want. We have to follow God's word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. And with all wicked deception, for those who are perishing, because they refused to love the truth and be saved. Therefore God sends them a strong delusion, so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They refused to love the truth. And what does it say? They refused to love the truth and so be saved. That tells us that the truth saves. God's word saves. Doesn't matter what we want to believe. It's God's word that saves. What we have to follow, what we have to do, is God's word. Then Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 29. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Do we have that attitude of being very nonchalant? Who is my neighbor? What should I do? And we know what the scriptures say about loving thy neighbor. But some will not believe unless they have the approval of others. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and his daughter, and against his father and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Again, it's not even what our families think or believe. It's God's word. Unless I see, I will never believe. We cannot be like Thomas. We have to believe the word of God. When everything else is against us, we still follow the word of the Lord. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Did it on his own. With what? The Lord's word. That he might preach the Lord's word among the Gentiles. He didn't need the approval of others, whether it was the other apostles, those in Jerusalem, or he went to Arabia and Damascus, doing the Lord's will. Some will not believe unless it requires little to no effort. I can tell you that some of the kids that are coming up today are as lazy as the day is long. Lazy with a capital L. I was talking to Brother Charlie after a sermon a week or two ago. We were talking about laziness. And he said, "I got a story for you." He said there were these two men that worked for him that rode together. He said one of them would oversleep. One of them would call the other one. He said he called one morning. He didn't answer. He had to go up to the door. He said, and the guy goes in, the other one's laying there on the couch. He said something, the fact of being lazy, and he said, I wouldn't even breathe if I didn't have to. Is that not the epitome of laziness? But I'm afraid that that's the attitude of people today, especially when it comes to the word of the Lord and following his word. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I can't help but think Jesus carrying that cross, just picturing in my mind Jesus carrying that cross to Calvary on his back. He'd been beaten and bloodied and sweating. How do we carry our cross? How do we carry our cross? We know that wasn't easy for him. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, buy truth and sell it, and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Those things take effort. The truth, wisdom takes study. Instruction takes study. Understanding takes study. It's not easy, but we've got to do it. But there are some that will not believe unless it requires little to no effort. There are some that will not believe unless it is a convenient time. Familiar with this passage here in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. It says, after some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. And he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you. When I get an opportunity, I'll summon you. But the problem is, tomorrow may be too late. That opportunity may not come. You've heard me tell the story of when I was growing up, 15 years old or so. A friend of mine named Shane would have been a year older than me, so he'd have been about 16 years old. We were walking across the Walmart parking lot, and it was a Wednesday night. I was getting ready to leave and go to church, and he said, I don't go to church. He said, I'm going to wait till I'm about 80 years old to become a Christian. You've heard me say it before. You can go visit Lindsay's uncle at the National Cemetery. And standing at Lindsay's uncle's headstone, you can look over to your right just a little bit and see Shane's headstone. He didn't make it to 80 years old. He died about 34 years old, 36 years old. Forklift accident. We just don't know. That convenient time will never come. It has to be now. Do we ever wonder why many are called and few are chosen? Thomas was later ashamed about his doubting. John chapter 20, verses 28, 29. Then he answered, my Lord and my God. Once he saw those scars, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you've seen me? Not because what you were told beforehand. Not because what the apostles told you, the disciples and the apostles told you. But you had to see me. You had to touch it. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I ask you this morning, what about us? We cannot be like Thomas. We cannot have that unless I see, I will never believe attitude. We must believe in the Lord God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind. We must believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man, that he died on the cross for our sins, and he was raised again on that third day. Why do we know that? Why do we believe that? Because that's what God's word says. We don't have to be like Thomas and touch it and feel it. Because we can't. But we've got God's word. Do we believe it? Do we live it? The sermon is yours this morning. Hopefully it's been an encouragement to you. Hopefully it's been an encouragement to your faith. It makes your faith stronger, that we don't have to be like Thomas. I ask you this morning, how's your faith? How is your faith? If we can help you with your faith this morning, if you've been sinning and you need to get your life right, we'll help you, we'll pray for you, we'll build you up. If you need to become a Christian, we'll help you do that as well. But as we've already said, there's not a convenient time, but right now. Don't let it pass you by. If there's any way we can help, please come as we stand and as we sing.